This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego, ouchmyego.com.
Hey, John.
Hey, Andrew.
So, today, I guess you forced me to watch something again.
I guess, kind of.
Well, it's not a total force, but it is something I totally wanted to see. But it's by a director whose work I typically don't like. So, what did we just watch?
We saw Yoga Hosers, part 2 of Kevin Smith's True North trilogy.
Colleen.
Colleen squared.
Are you happy, Miss Wickland? You killed Colleen.
100 calories here! 100 calories here!
Oh my God, could you stop being so basic?
I would like to invite you both to my party.
Senior boys only invite sophomore girls to parties for one thing.
Bonjour.
You're the legendary manhunter from Quebec.
Yes, I am that man.
Colleen?
I need both of you to help me solve this quite queer case.
It was the Bratzies.
What is a Bratzie?
It's like a foot-tall Nazi and it's made of bratwurst.
Destroy everything that threatens anyone or anything that you love. That's the yoga way.
We can do this. We do tons of stupid stuff with our adults all the time.
I'm thinking that we should all be very afraid right now.
Maybe we should Instagram it.
Ooh, right?
So this is yoga.
Only a trilogy because he decided to make this one and then, through a cloud of pot haze, decided to do another one after this.
Okay, so the first one was Tusk.
Tusk, which now, I really like.
I didn't really like it. I appreciate it. And I actually only really like two major ingredients in it. And that's Michael Parks and Johnny Depp's weirdo character.
Is Guy LaPointe. Yes.
Yeah, what's his character? What is he? Is he like Kolchak or something? Is he a reporter? What is he?
Oh, he's a detective.
I can never tell, because I mean Kolchak is a detective, but he's a reporter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, this guy is a straightforward detective. He's a Quebec manhunter of sorts.
Okay. So his accent is really wonky. It's not just typical French. I don't even know if there's a Quebec accent, but it's weird.
My name is Guy LaPointe.
It's a parody of a French accent, really.
So strange. Tusk had a jerk podcaster go check up on some story about a guy who wanted to have a walrus as a roommate, but he could turn you into the walrus. And so he checked up on that, and ended up happening. Some sort of body horror monster stuff.
Well, what he,
and Michael Parks is the guy, right?
Well, what he does is he's luring this guy up for this fantastical tale, and then the tale involves him being stranded on an island, being rescued by a walrus, and then finally escaping this little islet. And in this guy's many years, he wants that companionship back, so he turns Justin Long into a walrus.
Yeah.
Well, against other people.
Against his will. And it's a flesh walrus. It's like a walrus made up of a bunch of people's skin. It's really disgusting. But the audacity of it is what I respect. And that Kevin Smith, I am not a fan of his works. I have given them my time, and I want my time back for the most part.
What I liked about it was he basically sat there and put together a film that's like very much early Cronenberg, or it's like Stuart Gordon. It's stuff along those lines.
I would say more Gordon. I would say more Brian Usna, really.
Oh, Usna, yeah. But definitely along those lines where you have...
Sure.
This...
Sure, but what Kevin Smith did before was always in one voice. I always equate it to Shakespeare. When you watch a Shakespearean play, it's always in the same dang voice. It's only, like, what character is what? You could have anybody say the lines, and it's interchangeable. It doesn't matter who says it, usually. Maybe I'm not that versed on Shakespeare, but it doesn't seem so nuanced as each character sounds different, really. To the naked ear. And to the untrained ear.
Which is understandable, mind. And yes, Smith's...
So Kevin Smith does something similar, right?
Yeah, it's...
In Clerks.
His films...
Everybody speaks the same.
Yeah, his films very much have a same voice to them.
So Clerks has that, Mallrats has that, with a little bit more variation because he has some actors that kind of refuse to go along with that kind of speech, and when they do, it sounds more awkward, so they actually sound slightly more distinct. And further on in his career, I think Jersey Girl, he might have stopped doing that, I don't know. I don't remember seeing much of that.
Jersey Girl's a bit different.
But Red State is where he fully developed something different. He changed in Red State. And that's a movie that came out before Tusk, has Michael Parks in it.
Yeah.
Has John Goodman and Kevin Pollak.
And it's a heck of a film.
It's a really relevant movie to today. It's a right-wing church group, somewhat militia. cult. They just lure people in to kill him, basically.
Yeah.
And like, here's a message to the rest of the heathen world. And then the FBI get involved. And it's actually inspired by the Westboro Baptist Church and the Branch Davidian Waco, Texas thing.
Yeah. And they mentioned these things in the film, so it's like...
So it's not like this is a remake of any of that.
Yeah.
This is like in the same world. And the thing that I like about it is that everybody has a distinct voice. And then you let Michael Parks do his amazing thing, and he's perfect.
Now, Parks was supposed to be in Yoga Hosers.
What?
He was supposed to be the big bad guy at the end, and he ended up falling sick, so this guy who does a podcast with Kevin Smith, and he's also on
Garmin.
On the radio, Garmin. Yeah, he...
Yeah, Ralph Garmin.
He basically was given the opportunity to take that role over, which is...
Wow.
Which is...
That would have been totally different.
Yeah, which is also why the villain in this, Arcane, is... He does all those impressions at the end.
Yeah,
because
that's very strange.
That's one of Garmin's bits, is he does vocal impressions.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Yoga Hosers is after Tusk. It's in the same universe as Tusk. And the follow-up to Yoga Hosers is actually hinted at in this movie.
Yeah.
One of the girls is wearing a Moose Jaw shirt, which is a location in Canada. And Moose Jaws is going to be the next movie, which is just Jaws,
but
with a moose.
Yeah.
Sounds stupid enough.
Yeah, and Johnny Depp will be back in that as well.
Oh, golly. Okay, so our story starts with the girls just rapping.
They're doing a
cheerleader rap.
They're doing a cover of Anthrax's I'm the Man.
I stole your socks.
Yo, man, what's the matter with you?
Sorry, I'll get it next time, I promise.
Really?
Absolutely.
And they're doing it like cheerleader rap?
Well, that's kind of how the song is, but they're also doing...
Because I like cheerleader rap. I do. There's this really cool band called The Go Team, and they do this sort of cheerleader rap. I like that, but like, I didn't know that that was a cover.
Yeah, it's a bad, it's a terrible fun. Cover.
Really?
Yeah, the song is silly. Yeah, well, the song is silly and fun like that. The problem is, as I'm watching it, and this is on them, unfortunately, it feels so much like...
We've rehearsed this so many times that it's not...
Oh, yeah. No, you're right about the dialogue between the two. And I thought...
Which, that's all in the song. That's all part of the song.
In the original song?
In the original song, they're essentially not a duet.
They're screwing up live?
They're screwing up, and it's, you know, come on, man. And then it's, you know, it's a joke song. It's a humorous song.
The Anthrax song, is it them just being good at improv, or is it a scripted thing, do you think?
It's scripted, I'm sure, but it comes off very improv-ish.
Okay. And these girls are just actually doing it word for word.
Yeah.
It comes off insincere. That's true. But when they are actually doing the rap part, not the stutter stop parts, that's fun.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's also, with these two ladies, they are not bad singers because they do Styx's Babe and a cover of O Canada.
Oh, Canada.
At the end, and both of those are...
Right, O Canada is like, that's the only way that you should... Well, O Canada is such a better song than our national anthem, honestly. I'm not going to say all of Canada is great. There's a lot of social issues that are debatable. But their song, O Canada, is so much more preferred musically than the American national anthem, I think.
You definitely can turn it into a rock song.
Yeah, definitely. So these girls are just kicking around, and they're the quintessential teenage slacker girls. They're played by... the daughters of both Kevin Smith and Johnny Depp.
Yeah, and characters are both named Colleen.
Colleens. And they're approached by these two boys, one of them who hates them, and one of them who seems to be enamored by them, to come to a party later.
Are the Colleens perchance working tomorrow?
Not on Friday night, no way.
We're off, why?
I would like to invite you both to my party.
A senior party?
A senior party? Now with two very cool sophomores.
Those kids are weird.
Oh.
Just straight up off the get-go, they're weird. But they're not sinister weird. They're just like, what?
Yeah, they're...
What is going on with these guys?
Yeah, there's just something off about them. Especially the one, you have Hunter, which is this town hottie kind of guy who's...
The guy with all the dialogue. The other guy is actually really on point at being super annoying. Shut up, butthole kind of guy.
His name Gordon.
And he's very funny. He got a few chuckles out of me at the beginning, which is where he mostly is.
Pretty much, yeah. They only show up in like three scenes total.
Right. So this movie starts off and it's not really anything. It doesn't do anything for a huge chunk of the movie.
about
it establishes them as practitioners of yoga.
Yeah, they go to this strip mall swami named Yogi Bear.
Bayer.
B-A-Y-E-R.
You gotta say it. Yeah. Bayer. See, you're saying it like everybody's gonna hear it in the movie as well, but it's Bayer.
Yes.
Yogi Bayer.
And he
has this funny problem with the
Warner Brothers. They want him to cease and desist his use of what they believe is their intellectual property.
But that's a dumb joke, because can't Warner Brothers see? Are they only hearing it? How are they only hearing it without seeing it?
Well, it's
Bayer.
But also that kind of feels like a lot of like the Disney stuff, where Disney would attack people for potential copyright infringements and stuff.
Yeah,
like
painting
that.
Disney characters, Mickey Mouse and so on the side of preschool.
Yeah.
And then they get sued. So there's hints of strangeness, I don't know what they are, but they're really small. I mean, I do know now, but when they're revealed...
Yeah.
Initially, they're really small and they have like points.
Points on their head.
I'm not saying heads yet, because we don't really know. We just see the back of it and it looks like a thumb with a helmet on, perhaps.
Yeah. It's one of the patrons of the A to Z.
Like A-E-H, which I thought that's an amazing pun. It's the corner store called A to Z. A to Z.
One of the patrons had bought some toilet paper. I say this only because it's actually kind of relevant to the plot in a roundabout way. Guy's walking away and he gets attacked by something that goes
into and it's
into
implied
his...
that it pokes him up the butt.
Yeah.
Get out of my bum!
So that's the first hint of weird. Because, the rest of it isn't weird.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just teen girl stuff and it's kind of meandering. And like, honestly, when he did Mallrats, you like Mallrats?
I do, but it's...
You do?
I do like Mallrats.
Or you did?
No, I still enjoy it, but it's like...
You.
Of the Kevin Smith movies, because yes, I'm a fan, of his films, that's a little bit lower on the list of what I enjoy.
You. Watch it again. Watch it again as an adult.
I have.
Without nostalgia. Without nostalgia! And you might...
I'm looking forward to Mallrats. Or Mallrats 2, whatever it's called.
Yeah, which features the same actors as this movie and Mallrats. Yeah. Oh, God. Seriously, so Mallrats, what I was saying, it's kind of meandery. I don't know if people who hate Napoleon Dynamite like Mallrats, but it seems like they would. But they have the same kind of listless, very thin on plot thing going on, and Napoleon Dynamite beats it, hands down. Hands down!
Nope, hands up.
Put your hand down, John.
Just gotta be contrary right now.
Yeah. So this meanders a bit too much. I was texting you while I was watching this, and I was like, it's not...
Yeah.
There's nothing...
Yeah, you're
happening.
You kind of seem to have a... Not so much I'm bored, but I'm not liking this sort of text.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything to talk about. There ends up being something to talk about halfway through, which is Johnny Depp, LaPointe.
Oh, did you notice... And this was intentional. The moles on Guy LaPointe's face, it starts off as one mole, which starts moving. Then it has babies. By the end of the film, he has three or four moles on his face.
Yeah, I did notice them moving, migrating. It's on the tip of his nose. It just keeps changing
pretty much
places,
and
nobody addresses it. It's not like you have something on your face, and you take it off. No, it's not that joke. That's been done. This is just the beginning of that joke.
Yeah, just
no punchline.
Wait a minute.
Just moves around.
I don't know if someone should have addressed it or not in the film, whether or not that would have made it funnier or not, but I did kind of in another scene, I'm like, wait a minute. And then by the end of it, it's like, oh yeah, there we go. What's different? Okay, he's got it. It's all over his face now.
So he interrogates them because of the guy who was attacked, because they were the last people to see him.
And they're showing him the picture, and where the toilet paper thing comes into play is that's how they identify people, is pretty much just by what they buy at the store or how they act.
Right.
We look away from our phone for a second. Oh yeah, that guy bought toilet paper.
So LaPointe is doing this investigation. He always just seems like a Bigfoot hunter type guy to me. This is why I was confused if he's actually a detective or if he's one of those amateur detectives.
Well, no.
You know what I mean? What kind of authority does he have?
With the first film, he was hunting Michael Parks' character, and he was specifically going out on this case for that guy. And the fact that it was just it was happenstance that someone had reported something similar to the case that he was following before that brought him into Tusk, and now he has a connection with these two girls who are now involved with apparently
now there's no news in this movie, right? That's not in Tusk, but they found the Tusk kid, the podcaster.
Yeah, it is there because that's in the very beginning. They have that newspaper article that's hanging in the A to Z where it's twin girls found the Manitoba manatee.
Did you know they call the manatee a sea cow?
Moo! I'm utterly underwater, eh? Moo! Moo, eh?
That's her underwater cow. It's hysterical.
Yeah, but it's...
Except he's a walrus.
But it's a Winnipeg walrus. Yeah. And he's like...
Wow, you know something? That's a very good title. Guy Lapointe and the Winnipeg Walrus. Damn it, I should have chose that title.
Yeah, see, there's stuff that I laugh at in this. And it is mostly the Depp involvement. But really, what happens? What is the thing that keeps attacking people? How does that...
All that does partially relate to something that happens a little bit earlier in the film. They are in history class.
And one of the girls' mother is playing the history teacher. Yeah. She's talking about...
Lily Rose Depp's
mom. It's Vanessa Paradis.
Yeah.
Who has been in a handful of great movies, too. One that you should find called Atomic Circus.
But she talks about they're doing World War II history, and she brings up the fact that in Canada, there was a Nazi party.
The Canadian Union of Fascists was founded right here in Winnipeg by a Manitoban. And over in Quebec, you have the big kahuna of crazy himself, Adrien Arcan, the self-proclaimed Canadian Führer.
So this Arcan guy was like Canadian Hitler.
And this is all true. Adrien Arcan really proclaimed himself the Canadian Führer, wanted to send all the Jews to the Hudson Bay and then sink their boat, and was arrested as a danger to national security.
So being that it's true, it's portrayed in a really stupid, silly way. It's not very creative either. This is black and white footage with Haley Joel Osment playing him, with obviously printed signage that they would never have at the time.
Yeah.
And it's very annoying to me, being the illustrator that I am. And you probably, because you work in a sign shop, right?
Yeah, it did feel a little bit out of place.
Yeah.
And like, I sit there and go,
no,
that's,
sir.
That looks a little too clean and modern.
There's too many vectors going on here and printed on that vinyl canvas.
Yeah.
So that took me out of that. Yeah. But like, how can I just totally be invested in it? Anyway, yeah. I can't be, because it's so silly. It's, as LB puts it, it's Kevin Smith focusing on being amusing rather than being fully entertaining. That's actually how I feel about this movie as well.
Well, that's the thing. I agree with that.
Amusing can't hold while entertaining can.
It's like, I will say this. I enjoy this movie. I don't necessarily like this movie.
Okay.
But in this history lesson, she also brings up that there was a man from Berlin named Andronicus Arcane, who was a, you know, Nazi who was there helping him out. And then around the time that Arcand gets arrested, he just disappears. And Arcane is, again, originally supposed to be Michael Parks, now Ralph Garman, and probably named after a Swamp Thing villain.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so.
Have you seen that yet?
I have not watched it. I have it. It's been sitting there. I need to watch it.
All right. We're gonna touch on it this year. So
okay.
Put that on hold. So let's get into the Nazi stuff in Canada. Not only is some of that stuff true, but Canada, after the war, while all the Nazi hunters were going around trying to kick Nazis out and hold them accountable for... This is not just German soldiers. This is the SS. This is the Wehrmacht, you know? Canada didn't really prosecute them. And there were lots of Nazis in Canada.
Yeah.
And they just weren't dealt with.
Yeah, a whole Nazi party.
Yeah, they weren't dealt with. Like, what the heck? Canada? That ain't cool. Canada? What's up with that?
No answer for that one, man. But yeah, so these girls, they want to go to the party, and it ends up turning out that they're going to have to work that night.
Right. Oh, yeah. This is the left field thing. This comes out of nowhere.
Exactly, yeah.
Not the party, but what happens next is... So, yeah.
These two...
Realize they're stuck because their dad is off with his girlfriend.
Yeah, who also manages the store, yeah.
And it's Tony Hale. He's pretty funny.
And he's...
He's another amusing part of the movie that doesn't really have anything to do with the movie, but it's amusing.
Yeah, he's fun and silly in the short time that he's there.
He's a big pushover for his daughter. So, he still makes her work the... Quick Stop, the A to Z. And they decide to have the party at the A to Z as opposed to going to a party.
Yeah.
But is there really a party?
Not really, because those two boys are Canadian Satanists.
They want to kill them, I guess because they're virgins, or they assume they are or something. And that's out of, like, nowhere. There's no hint at it. Nobody's wearing any sort of telltale generic silly satanic thing. I guess it's okay that Kevin Smith did that, but I wonder why he did that. Like, where?
Yeah, just out of nowhere, all of a sudden this thing happened, and it's very, and again, like, kind of what I was describing is, it's a pretty weird movie, because it just...
It's weird, I think, in a similar way that John Dies at the End is, but it's not as clever as John Dies at the End.
Or even consistent.
It's weird because it's like, let's just keep throwing silly stuff in. And you said that this is born on a podcast. I know that he does this now. He just riffs on an idea and he thinks that it sticks.
Well,
as opposed to falling. Because it should fall. This movie shouldn't have been made. But it is.
This
made.
One was less podcast. Like, Yoga Hosers, the term comes from a podcast. But unlike Tusk, which almost word for word came directly from one of the podcasts, if you listen to that episode, you have heard the film like a year before it was made. This one is just kind of concepts.
Is Moose Jaws similarly done?
Moose Jaws, he just had an idea where, you know what? I want to do Jaws, but with a moose. Probably because he had toured Canada a lot and probably heard, you know, or drove by Moose Jaw. So
yeah, and thought that's a funny joke.
That's, yeah, it's like, that's clever. I will do that.
Yeah, okay.
Plus, he likes Jaws a lot.
Yeah, who doesn't? I mean, like the first one.
Yeah, the first one.
I saw it when I was 6 years old, and that's one of the reasons why I continued watching things a six-year-old shouldn't watch, and it didn't faze me. I mean, memories happen where the head falls out of the boat, you know,
yeah,
underwater, floats up through the hole.
Yeah.
And that's still, I'm like, whoa, jarring. But you know what? Who cares? Special effects. Special effects. I'm a little kid. I understand things. Woo! So Jaws, responsible for my interest in all this stuff. Kind of. So Garmin comes along and he does this whole thing, which he's revealing. Oh, there's some Scooby-Doo elements in this too. Yeah. They're all looking for...
There's some stuff that happens a little bit before that, because when the boys come in, they...
try to kill the girls.
The good news is that we're Canadian Satanists.
Ooh.
So we don't go in for any of that touchy stuff. You see, Satan seeks his souls pure. All the virgins are in grade 10. I don't want your body. I just want your untouched virgin soul. But I kind of got to cut you open to get to it.
And then they fight back. But in the middle of them fighting back, the Satanists get attacked by whatever attacked everybody else.
Yeah, and it turns out they are 1-inch tall Nazi bratwursts.
Nah, I wouldn't say 1-inch tall, dude. That's really small.
Okay.
They're like action figure size.
But yeah.
They're bratwursts.
But they're basically little Nazi bratwursts with concentrated...
Bratwurst clones.
Yeah, with concentrated sauerkraut for blood.
So, like, the special effects, it's just a lot of green screen, these guys in these rubber suits, or at least two guys, I think,
nope.
Maybe.
It's just all Kevin Smith.
That's Kevin Smith?
That's Kevin Smith. It was actually supposed to be Jason Mewes also, but but he had an issue with claustrophobia and the prosthetics.
The makeup. Okay.
So it just Smith ended up taking over for that.
Well, I commend you, Kevin Smith, for being that little guy speaking stupid German phrases. Really badly, too.
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
Obviously, you're a clown. So he attacked and kills us as these little minion. Also, I can't stand that you can't say minion now without imagining a Twinkie.
Thinking about it, actually, this is probably about the same size as the minions. Maybe a little bit smaller.
They're called Bratzies, actually.
Yep.
So I thought, haha, that's clever. So they poke people through the butt. So that's a Kevin Smith thing. But this is a PG-13 movie, isn't it?
It is. Almost got an R rating, and that's only because of a scene earlier with Gila Point. He's showing them their book.
So naughty. The student has decided to deface it by changing the word gi and adding an A so that it says a gay. And also, they added a set of testicles right under my nose. You see that? You see that? With that kind of, you know, awful pokey hair that I don't know why, sticking out of them.
You can put it down now.
Oh, okay.
That almost gave it an R rating.
That's really stupid. There's nothing R rated in that.
No. And that's why he was going to fight them over it. And there was a quick review, and they went, no, this is not R-rated.
Yeah, definitely not R-rated. So, Guy LaPointe, what a silly name. He shows up and interrogates him some more, but the special effects with the sauerkraut, we're looking at it, and instead of looking like sauerkraut, you know those little potato
little
fries?
Like, yeah, it's like hash browns almost.
Yeah, kind of, but I was thinking like the dried stuff that usually comes in a can. It's like potato chips, but they're just little tiny fries.
Okay, yeah.
But, and I said, what is that, sauerkraut? And then, like, moments later, they sauerkraut. I was like, okay, I guess. That's not how bratwursts are. Also, I know my bratwurst.
Yes, this is the second film in a, this is the second film in a row where something has to do with bratwurst.
With you, yeah. Bratwurst in this, and John dies at the end. That's funny.
While the girls, before they start fighting back, they call the police, so you get your obligatory Stan Lee cameo.
Right.
There's also...
Which is like, is this a Marvel movie?
No, but he does, he also shows up in one of the previous Kevin Smith, at least produced movies, which was the...
Mallrat.
No, no, no. Jay and Silent Bob Super Groovy cartoon movie. Stan Lee shows up...
He does that too?
He shows up at the end.
Oh. Whatever.
But I don't recommend that one. Just for cameo's sake, I do have to admit that there is my... The best cameo in the film is by the one true Batman, Kevin Conroy. A little bit earlier, before the boys show up at the A to Z.
I pointed that out. He was in a movie called Chain of Desires. Very first time I heard of him and saw him, and it was an adult, sort of erotic thriller, was possibly a thriller. It's just one of those dramas that came out in the early 90s. Malcolm McDowell's in it. Kevin Conroy's in it. And also, being so long ago, cable, you know, like Cinemax or something. Yeah. I realized that actors can do anything. So, like, this guy does a voice for a kids show, and he's like naked fondling himself in a window looking at a lady across the way in another window, and they're okay, and he's Batman. I guess actors just are actors, you know. This is like my first revelation to that thought of actors do anything now, which is naive back then, but anyway.
Yeah.
Chain of Desire. I don't know if you should watch.
Yeah, so let's fast forward. They've...
You think that's the one true Batman, because I thought you were going to say Garman's impression of Adam West, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I am so jealous of Garman's impression of Adam West.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, John. I do some impressions.
I don't think
I don't know if you recall.
I don't recall any impressions. May not have been, okay, may not have,
well,
been done while I was around.
You can do walk-in... He does Schwarzenegger, and I was like, your Schwarzenegger's off, buddy. It might be a German thing. I know he's Austrian, but... But his Adam West.
Well, he's besties with Adam West, so...
He is?
Yeah.
Wow, it's so good.
You see, girls, each night, as I slaved away over my masterpiece, one dream fueled me.
That does not sound like Batman.
Yeah, Batman sounds like, where's the trigger?
Where's the trigger?
Where's the trigger?
Where's the trigger?
Now you don't understand, he's doing the original, the real Batman from the televisions. Adam West's Batman, wasn't it?
Yes.
But his Schwarzenegger is just the typical, I, you know?
Yeah.
I'm speaking German like this. You know, that's not Schwarzenegger. This is Schwarzenegger. That's Schwarzenegger in a struggle.
Yeah, that's the idea of that. Because he also does Pacino.
My wiener babies.
He does Ed Wynn.
Don't you know?
Yeah, both of those are really great.
And Stallone.
Yo, Adrian.
All of his impressions are pretty good. You know, Garman worked on K-Rock in L.A.
Still works. Still works on K-Rock.
He still works with K-Rock?
Yeah.
He's their impressionist slash reporter on the street guy on Kevin and Bean's show.
Yeah. Again, like I said, he does one of the podcasts with Smith, a podcast called Hollywood Babylon, where you get to hear...
Babble.
Hyphen on.
On.
Yes.
Yeah, not Babylon.
But yeah.
But which is a reference to a book series by Kenneth Anger about rumors in Hollywood. It's a very strange book that just spills the dirt on all the old Hollywood stars.
Yeah.
There's two of them, and they, I think, came out in the 70s. Anyway.
Of all the impressions...
That's what that's a reference
of
to.
All the impressions that he does on that show that they put in this film, I'm surprised that they didn't do his Pee-wee Herman.
Really?
Yeah, because that would have been better than Schwarzenegger, I think.
Yeah, do your strongest, not your... Right? I'm not that big of an impressionist, but I've been able to do voices before. My Schwarzenegger is... That's my joke, is I don't actually say anything. I just do the noises. Haha. But I used to actually play Red Dead Redemption, and I would do that, and kids would love it. So they do the Scooby-Doo thing, and they go inside a tunnel, which is where they meet Garman, the Nazi guy who explains his whole thing in regular old villain fashion.
Well, regular old villain fashion, as in all those impressions that we kind of mentioned.
Yeah, but the explanation is all there, and then you're doomed.
But then it's also, his entire thing is, prior to becoming a Nazi, he was an artist, but he had issues with the critics, so...
Right, this is is also a thing that Kevin Smith is making fun of himself about.
Yeah, very much so. Because he has definitely had issues with the critics in the past. Now he's indifferent, obviously based on Tusk and Yoga Hosers. He doesn't care what anyone really thinks. He's just going to do what he enjoys doing.
Right.
But Arcane has been systematically killing people over the last year or so, and creates his tribute to his newfound land of Canada, a goalie golem made of flesh.
Hockey goalie.
Yes.
And also my least favorite part of the movie.
Well,
I do not like what the thing looks like. Can't stand it, really. I think from all the makeup that they did with little Bratzy, they could have done a better job.
Well, it is all Robert Kurtzman effects on...
Oh, really? Robert Kurtzman?
Kurtzman, yeah.
Because I can't stand Robert Kurtzman.
Ah, okay.
The reason why he's no longer with K&B, even though his name is still in K&B, is because he's the least good. He broke off and did Precinct 13. I'm sorry. Kurtzman, if you're listening, this is my opinion. I don't know you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your product, okay? So the product isn't... Like, he's done so many zombie movies, and you can tell his zombies versus The Walking Dead zombies. You can tell who did what. Did Nicotero work on it, or did Kurtzman work on it? Kurtzman is the one that it looks like 14-year-old with really great talent drew it, as opposed to the other guys who do, like, this really realistic, not hyper whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess it's all about taste, but my taste says no to Kurtzman. I did not know that Kurtzman did that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So the idea is, first he wants the Colleens to use their social media prowess, since this is never really addressed other than the fact they're always on their phones. It seems, I guess, they might be some sort of social media trendsetters in a way.
Well, I know that the social media stuff that they try to do is do this Instacan thing. I don't know what that is. Instacanada?
It's like a joke on Instagram, if anything.
Yeah, I know it is, but I mean, it's called Can. I don't know what the Can is for. But that's the biographies of each character that they introduce. So that's like the only social media thing where that they're on their phones. And no, you can't take our phones away.
Yeah, they lost their phones earlier because they got arrested. Okay, so they don't have their phones. So he just can move on to phase two. He activates the golem and wants it to go and kill art critics.
But there's one moment, and I think it's way too subtle, where Garman does something that a critic would say. He says something of himself. He criticizes. And then he explains that he needs the thing to kill the critics, and so the thing turns on him.
Yeah, he demands that instead of killing the girls, he wants...
The thing he says is two thumbs down, and then...
It kills him.
But I think that's just... I don't know. The delivery, the writing, there's something about that that just seemed like it wasn't quite there as a joke. Like, oh, the irony, because he said two thumbs down. I get it. It just didn't... The rhythm of it, I think.
Yeah, it's, in a way, I guess, too fast to that conclusion, where it's like, he says one thing, and then all of a sudden it's, you know...
Yeah, because he should have been actually a real big hypocrite about it. That's what the overt thing would be, not just this one off-the-cuff remark. I get it. It's an off-the-cuff remark, and isn't that ironic? But
yeah.
It would be more pointed if the Nazi was claiming superiority while being a hypocrite about whatever he's claiming and all that stuff. And then, haha, the hypocrisy gets him and whatever.
But yeah, now Arcane's dead, so the girls are free, and they defeat the golem with the power of yoga. And on-screen texts a la Batman.
Right, which is just dumb. Dude, they have these dumb yoga fight scenes.
Well, it's also, they're taught.
Work.
Very bad yoga poses too, like dissatisfied customer and pretentious frog. You know, it's,
and they have funny names, the yoga
and
poses.
So they're using all
names.
These things that we've set up in the previous yoga scenes.
Now we were watching this, and LB mentioned again something that I'm gonna expound upon, so I'm not gonna quote her, but I agree with, like, this movie seems more like it would be appropriate for Edgar Wright to have directed than Kevin Smith, with Edgar Wright's visual director style and what he would do visually with it. With all the introductions with Instacan, with those kinds of graphic overlays of the scene.
It feels like Scott Pilgrim, yeah.
Think how the use of motion graphics, graphic design, and cartoon or comic book elements would work in this film, and it would be great. Also, the rhythm of the humor, the rhythm of the edits in particular. I think this movie would excel if it was in somebody who is a master at that. And then Kevin Smith is more, he's an orator. He's a great talker.
That's his strength, and even though I can agree, yeah, I like his films, but I do agree, you know the voice. So it's like, you know vocally a Kevin Smith film based on just kind of what the dialogue is. And that's definitely his strengths, and having someone else translate that work I can agree. Like, Edgar Wright would make this a much better film.
Yeah, but I don't think Edgar Wright would even touch it. But yeah, just the what if this story if the script was tighter and it was directed by Edgar Wright. But his absolute nonsense, which does work for the weird scale, it's like on the weird scale of 1 to 10, I would say it's like a close to a 7, if not a 7.
That's actually the kind of number I was putting in my head too. I'm like, it's not super, super weird. It's not, you're not completely just confused at all times. It's just things.
Well, I'm going to get into this topic real quick. From time to time, I'll bring this up in the podcast. I haven't with you yet. The normalization of weird.
Okay, yeah, there's, in the case of this, there's a lot of left field things that don't fit, like the Satanists. You don't need it because it doesn't further the plot. It really doesn't, other than putting two dead bodies into the A to Z. There's no reason for these guys to. They could have just come in and you could have done the easy thing. So it could easily just be,
right.
Oh yeah, this guy's a scumbag and he's going to take advantage of her.
So they just make him Satanist to just throw that on
it. Yeah,
just,
it has no, so, it has nothing to do with it.
So like the normalization of weird though, what I mean is, since let's just say the blockbuster years of the mid 70s when Jaws and Star Wars came out, there was a lot of grindhouse nonsense, gore, schlock going on in the midst of all of that. But when those two movies hit, they were fantastic and they blew up the summer for all the summers to follow. People were trying to get that level of fantastic, but at the same time, there were kids my age and your age watching these movies and the schlock that came out in the 70s and 80s. And we grow up, a lot of directors now grew up watching those movies and the schlock, and they're trying to make more of it.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, you're right, because like with Grindhouse, that double feature thing, which failed miserably because you and I would want to see it, but
yeah.
Who else? Who are they really making these movies for? And yeah, this is, like with Tusk, it's a very small audience who really wants to see this thing. Like, the mission statement of Yoga Hosers was essentially to make a, in a way, it seems like it's kind of a monster squad from Millennium Girls.
Huh.
I don't think he's used those specific words, but that's kind of, when you look at it, that's kind of what that's the closest film I could see. Is it's like Monster Squad, it's like, there's a little bit of, with the Bratzies, in a way, and in a way, tone, a little bit of Army of Darkness. It's a lot of these, you know, films that, yeah, we grew up watching. Now I'm gonna make a version of that for this age. Plus, yeah. he fell in love with the fact that when he watched the scene in Tusk with his daughter and Lily Rose, he basically saw this, he fell in love with it because it's basically Clerks, but with two Randalls and they're girls.
Yeah, and they're girls, but I also think that their relationship on screen is indicative of their relationship off screen. They're best friends.
Yeah, they've known each other for a long time. It was like the original scene in Tusk was just for a guy, who was just a throwaway thing. Smith decided, hey, I'll throw my daughter in that. Why not? And then, oh,
Lily Rose is going to watch me on set.
Well, let's put her in the film too. Johnny Depp will enjoy acting with his daughter and, you know, what the heck. And just kind of snowballed from there. It's like, what if I made a film following these girls in a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern kind of way?
Huh. Interesting that you bring that up. It's a great movie. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Exactly. And just kind of like, that was, the idea was, if I can get the financing for it, we'll do it. And
he got the financing. I mean, he keeps getting financing.
Yeah, well, he's making very, very low budget movies that you pretty much have made all the money back by selling, you know, the overseas rights.
Oh, speaking of which, before I saw anything of this movie, I saw a poster, but it was in Russian. So the language on it, the text and type, was Cyrillic or Kyrillic, however you say it. And I couldn't understand what was going on because it was mainly the Bratzy. It was like a lot of Bratzy stuff going on. And I was just like, what is this movie? And I couldn't figure it out. Did like Google image search, still nothing. Eventually I learned what it was.
Yeah, it seemed like it was sold everywhere first. Then the US finally got something because it.
And it's on Netflix now, so you can watch it if you want to. I don't mean to talk massive crap about it because I really do respect that Kevin Smith is going outside of his typical voice, because I don't like the voice of his characters in the movies. I like the voice of him on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's a different thing.
And in a way, I recommend this movie, but I sit there and go, I don't particularly like it. I think it's, of his movies, it's definitely, it's above Cop Out, but it's pretty much below everything else. I would recommend Tusk over this, but this film is fun. It is, even considering that there are, you know, it's like a flesh monster at the end of this and all this Satanists and all that.
Yeah, well, stick with it. Yeah, maybe actually that's why the monster wasn't that well designed, because it's a PG-13 Halloween movie and they don't want to get
too disgusting. But it's like, it's a bright and sunny movie in a way. It's silly. It's lighthearted.
Yeah.
It doesn't take itself seriously. And
if you can get past the first half, I'd say it's worth at least looking at. But
it's definitely, I think it's an enjoyable film. It's just not a good one.
Ha, okay. And on that note, kids, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Without nostalgia!